This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 4 IDN Technical Operations call held on the 25th of August, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. So if you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to you, Jeff. Please begin.
Thank you. This is Jeff Newman, and welcome to, as you heard before, welcome to Work Track 4. Hopefully you can hear me. Okay, I just switched headsets, so I went out and bought a new one, so hopefully this one works. Because I've been told I've been too quiet before. So everyone should have access to the PowerPoint slides, so you can scroll through them as we go along. This work track is kind of a mixture of a bunch of different issues and involves looking at a number of the policy issues from a technical perspective. So we have in this group, as you can see, the overall classification of IDN technical issues, operational issues, and in operational issues, there are also financial issues that we'll look at, especially when it comes to the evaluation process. With that said, I'll jump to the agenda, which is we'll talk through some introductions of the group, talk about leadership of the group, meeting schedule from here on out, the work items, and then if anyone has any other business, just I'll call for any other business at that point in time, and if you have anything, great, we'll add it to the agenda. So it looks like we have 13 participants so far on this call. We have 21 participants if you're on slide 4 of the group, and then 19 observers. So it's interesting that this group has almost as many observers as participants. We'd love to get some of those observers to cross over to be participants, but would love for you all, especially if you have organizations behind you, to find some technical personnel to help us as well. I noticed there are certainly a lot of policy people in this group, and nothing wrong with policy people, but some of these issues are going to require some semblance of technical expertise, and to the extent that we have people working on those issues in this group that normally work on those issues in operation, whether it be from a registry perspective, registrar perspective, or even as a user, that would be very helpful to the discussions, especially with internationalized domain names. So the breakdown of the group, we have 5 registry stakeholder group members. We have 3 non-commercial, either NCUC or NCSG members. Again, this is how they identified themselves in the statements of interest. So when we didn't make any qualitative judgment here as to which group people fell in. There's 1 IPC, 1 registrar representative, 1 BC, and 1, I'm always careful when I say this, 1 person participating from the GAC, and that's Tom, but Tom is not a GAC representative. He is the secretary, he's acting in the secretariat function. But even if we had other members of the GAC participating, they don't formally participate as a representative of the GAC, but just as an individual. And speaking of individuals, we have 9 that have indicated they are either an individual, 1 person I believe indicated they were from the ALAC, and then there were a couple, there was 1 that was left blank that fits into sort of the other category. Everyone here has filed a statement of interest, but I will note that there's 1 statement of interest that I'll circle back with staff. It doesn't really have any information in it, so I'll look through that just to make sure everyone's statement of interest is complete. And saying that, does anyone have any updates that they want to make on this call to their statement of interest? Obviously, if there is anything that changes between the time that you file the statement of interest and the current time, then you're asked to change it in writing, but also to just mention it on the next phone call after your interest changes. So I'll just pause for a second to see if there's any amendments to anyone's statement of interest that they want to make. Okay, hearing none, we can move on to leadership. This is, for those of you that have been on other calls or in other work tracks, this is a slide you'll have seen before as to the responsibilities of the leadership of this this work track team. I am not planning on taking a leadership role in this work track, neither is Avery. We are overseeing the overall responsibilities of the entire working group, but we're looking for additional people to step up and take leadership of the work tracks. And then as a leader of the work track, you will be responsible for coordinating the efforts of the sub-team, communicating the status of the sub-team to the rest of the leadership team, participating, which includes participating on a weekly call. We've generally scheduled a weekly call on Thursdays following this call, but to the extent that we have people from different time zones that are participating, we can look at changing that time. The leadership is asked to work with staff and Avery and myself to get the work done, which includes developing content for the full working group meetings and to make reports during the bi-weekly full working group calls. And it's important that leaders act with neutrality. That doesn't necessarily mean they can't have a point of view, but at any point the leader wants to express their views, they should make it clear that they are expressing that views either as an individual or as a representative of the company or organization they're part of, but not as the chair or leader of the group. With that said, we can have one leader, we could have multiple leaders. It's really up to this group. And so far, one person, if you look at slide 6, has come forward and volunteered. That's Rubens. I don't see Rubens Kuhl on this call, but he has volunteered from the registry stakeholder group. And I know Rubens. If he were on the call, I'd ask him to say a little bit about himself. But he's not on this call. And I do know that Rubens is on the Genus of Council from the registries. He also is a member, I believe, of LAC TLD or LAC NIC. His statement of interest is posted as Emily has just posted the link. Thanks, Emily. And he, at least speaking as a, when I participate in the registry stakeholder group, Ruben certainly has a handle on the technical issues. And as an applicant or registry that participated in this last process, I think he certainly is qualified to at least be one of the leaders of this group. Is there anyone else that wants to step up and take a leadership role in this group? I'll wait to see if anyone wants to speak. And by the way, if you step up to be a leader, I'm not going to turn the meeting over to you today, so don't worry about that. Well, no one's stepping up at this point, but we'll leave it open. I'm sure Rubens would appreciate some assistance in this group, and especially since there's, you know, having multiple co-leaders helps a lot, especially when one of the leaders can't necessarily make every call. And so please, if you can think about that and you want to assist Rubens, please let us know on the mailing list. Well, let me ask, actually, does anybody have any objections to Cheryl. Great. We're happy to assist the Rubens. Do you want to say, just let everyone know? I mean, I know you pretty well, and probably most of the people here know you pretty well. But do you want to introduce yourself and to the rest of the group?
Happy to, Jess. Cheryl Langenor, perpetual botherer of people in the world of ICANN. I am not even sure which of my SOIs should be referring to here, because I file one in the world of the GNSO, because I am an individual member of the non-commercial stakeholders group, but I am not a member of the subunits thereof. And I also file, of course, one from the at-large advisory committee, having held a number of roles there, including several leadership ones. That said, I spend an inordinate amount of time in policy in the GNSO world, and have done for many years. In addition to that, why I thought I might give Rubens a hand is I have been active, not so much in the script listing and specific scripts interests of the IDN world in recent times, but in actually getting IDNs and fast-tracking IDNs through the early work that ICANN did. I was consistent and continual contributor to that, not because I have any language skills. I don't even speak English. I'm an Australian. But I do have some administrative qualities which may be able to give Rubens a hand in terms of management of this sub-team. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Cheryl. And as Cheryl said, she's got a lot of experience in leading groups, and I believe is an award winner. Was it the Ethos Award or another award? But she's certainly
guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Apparently, I can bludgeon consensus without leaving bruises.
Thanks, Cheryl. So it's great, great to have you aboard. Let's move on. Again, Cheryl, I'm not going to turn it over to you. That would be quite unfair at this point, but certainly to the extent you have any comments, happy to hear them. And I will also have Emily send you some information about the leadership calls and the lists and all that. Okay, to move on to slide 7 on scheduling. So scheduling has actually become – oh, Emily, you had your hand raised. Sorry. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, Jeff, I was just going to say, Cheryl, if you would like to join us right after this meeting, I can send you the details. We actually have a leadership conversation
thanks.
Right after this.
Thanks, Emily. I'll just get Terry to ping it to me.
Okay,
thanks, Emily. Thanks, Cheryl. So with scheduling, I was saying it's actually become a nightmare recently with all of the not just this PDP, which has 4 work tracks and, of course, the full group, but there's the work stream 2 of the accountability work, which has 9 sub-teams, each of them wanting to meet weekly or every other week. It's become a lot of fun trying to schedule calls. But that said, oh, Rubens, you're on. Cool. Rubens, do you have access to phone? I didn't know if you want to say a little bit about yourself to everyone. I can wait, see if Rubens has microphone access. Okay, well, maybe not. So we'll come back if we get some microphone access for Rubens. But Rubens, welcome to the call. We just went over the membership of the group, and Cheryl Langdon Orr has volunteered to help you as a co-leader of this group. So we are on slide 9. I'll go over scheduling, and then I'll come back to you to just tell a little bit about yourself to the rest of the group. And so with scheduling, it's really up to this work track team. You can meet once a week, twice a week, whatever you all decide. Actually, not twice a week, sorry, once a week or once every other week. I suppose if there's something immediate that's due, perhaps you could increase it to two times a week. But it's your choice as a work track team, and we'll leave that to the leadership. We have three allocated time slots to schedule calls. That's 3 UTC time, 1500 UTC time, and 2000 UTC time. So those are the three rotating times that we have to schedule, preferably and usually on a Tuesday and or a Thursday. So those have been fairly safe for us, but again, with other work streams, I'm sorry, with Workstream 2 and their sub-teams, we need to make sure we get calls scheduled well in advance to make sure that time period is open. So that said, we are not planning on having another Work Team 4 meeting in August, which actually ends next week, but plan to start up each of the work teams in early September. And you'll get a notice in your email as to when that first call for Work Track 4 will be. And that'll be after we have a discussion with the leadership team as well. Rubens, if you have access now, if you want to just introduce yourself to the group, who you work for, what experience you have, why you're interested in this group.
Thank you, Jeff. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you great. Thanks.
Thanks. It's Ruby Skill for the transcript. I work for NIC.PR, which is a nonprofit organization that manages the .PR CCTLD, but has been involved in GTLD since the 2012 round, both as an applicant and now a contracted registry operator, and a registry service provider. So we provide registry services for a couple of brands in Brazil for 1G TLD and to our own OpenTLD. So I got my experience within UTTLDs in a myriad of different types of TLDs. I have not been involved with GNSO policy development when it started in 2007. I'm a somewhat newcomer to ICANN since I only got here in Dakar after Applicant Guidebook was approved in Singapore. But I managed to catch up with what were the required. What was required for new TLDs. I also participated in drafting one of the responses to ICANN's reports on new TLDs. So most of my interest and experience in this topic comes from analyzing what happened in the 2012 round and what could be improved. And one reading that I strongly recommend for everyone in this work track is exactly the responses in the public comments for ICANN's version of what happened in that round. So there is the official version, the official history, but there is also what registries and applicants took up the process. And there is one very interesting response from AFNIC as well and some others, so I strongly suggest reading them. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Rubens. I want to also apologize. You may hear some noise in the background from I'm in an airport lounge, so you may hear an announcement or something like that in the background, so I will apologize for that. And I agree with Avri. I think after 1 or 2 years, Rubens, I don't think you can call yourself a newcomer, but you're certainly well-versed in the policy process now, being on the council and having served on a couple different policy development process working teams at this point in time. on the, if you go to slide 11, so this is interesting because this work team or this work track didn't have as specific as information in the final report as some of the other work tracks had. I think maybe because the discussion group that preceded the PDP was more policy oriented than technical, it's not that they brushed over these items, but they certainly generalized these items a lot more. So my impression is that as we go along, there'll be more topics added to this list. So this is just on these couple slides, just a few of the areas that we'll look at. And the first one is on internationalized domain names. I'll admit that this is not an area I am as well versed in as a lot of others on this call, but we'll be looking at things like the IDN guidelines, the second level LGR reference. We'll look at other items with respect to internationalized domain names. For some reason, I thought I put it on the slide, but I guess they didn't. At this point, there is a restriction on the you have to have more than two character internationalized domain names. In other words, if your IDN was one character, you could not apply for that as a top level domain. So perhaps that's something that can be looked at by the group as to see whether that rule should still apply. I know it was pretty controversial back when that rule was established, and because the single character was viewed very similarly to a single ASCII letter TLD. Single ASCII letter TLDs were reserved because of technical issues, but when you look at a single character IDN, that is actually when you convert it to ASCII, or when it's converted from ASCII to IDN, it's actually many more characters than one. It's at least XN dash dash whatever. So it's at least five characters. That was fairly controversial when it was first established, and the rules or the rationale was by the end of that time period, or by the time period that people were applying for these top level domains, it just was, well, this is the rule we're going to go with for this round, but if people wanted to change, then they can do that for the next application window. So, Rubens, are you aware, not sorry to put you on the spot, are you aware of other IDN issues that you think this group will need to look into in addition to the ones I mentioned?
Not that I'm aware of, Jeff. I just like to comment that regarding the one character and two character issue, this is possibly a repercussion of some IDN alphabets like Cyrillic that are very visually similar to ASCII. So there are very known issues like the Bulgarian IDN versus .brcctld, where this possible similarity was mentioned. But the problem is that we put in the same bucket language like Chinese, where a character means a lot, and language like language based on Latin or Cyrillic scripts, where one character is not that much. So, but I'm not aware of any other issues, but inside those issues, there are some facets we need to look at. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Rubens. And there'll also be coordination with other efforts that ICANN has underway that were listed in the final report and in the charter, issues on variants and other groups that were set up to look at those types of issues. The second topic, which, again, I'm not sure how much this work track will work on, is universal acceptance. In the guidebook, there was just a kind of a warning to applicants that said, hey, even if you get your TLD, whether it's ASCII or IDN, it may not work with every single application, and so just be warned that that's an issue. And there was a, and we found that to be an issue with both ASCII TLDs and IDN TLDs with browsers and other applications. So the there was a group set up by ICANN called the Universal Acceptance Steering Group. They have been working on reference materials and others for developers. So I think that I'm not sure how much work this work track will do on universal acceptance, but certainly there should be some coordination with the UASG to see if anything needs to go into the guidebook or the next version of the guidebook or whatever we want to call it to give some more information to registry operators. Third area is security and stability. So there were two reviews in the applicant guidebook or that an applicant had to go through in order to get their string. One was a stability, security and stability review, and that was whether the registry services offered by the applicant might adversely affect DNS security or stability. There was also a look at whether the string itself in some way violated stability, security or stability. Interestingly enough, I don't believe that initial stability review found any TLD that was in violation or that didn't pass that review. But after the fact, after the name collision issue had been introduced and studied, ultimately the final report had recommended that I believe it's two or three strings could not go forward. So one could say that in hindsight that those two probably shouldn't have passed the security or stability review. So this work track will look at whether the review is still needed, and what else may need to be established. There was also a security and stability review of any registry service, additional registry services that had been proposed. So to the extent that any registry had proposed some sort of novel service in their application, they could have gone through a registry services review. I'm not sure how many registries actually proposed additional services initially. That would be probably a pretty good question to ask ICANN to get some stats on that and to see whether and how applicants went through that process. But there really was not very much guidance in the guidebook on security and stability. It was more of a overall statement that, you know, that these strings should not violate security and stability of the DNS, and that registry services shouldn't violate security and stability of the DNS. And Rubens points out that some services were proposed, but none of them had to be referred to what's called the RSTEP, which is the Registry Services Technical Evaluation Panel. That was a group convened by ICANN, actually prior to the to the application process. It's been around a rotating set of people that have been around for a number of years when a registry proposes a new registry service and they have to be convened. So we'll collect data. Rubens doesn't believe that there are any referred to an RSTEP, so we'll have to see, evaluate that as to see whether it should be part of the ongoing process or not. If you go to slide 12, there are, and this is one category, but it's a large category, to look at the applicant guidebook questions and the review process and the criteria that's set out in an annex or appendix to module 2 of the applicant guidebook. That will look at the evaluation criteria from a technical perspective, which was like questions 28 through 43 of the guidebook. questions. That also includes operational questions, which would include things like having a business continuity plan and other aspects, security aspects, so to look at all of those. Financial aspects, so those were questions 48, I believe, through 52, whatever it was, that will require some coordination with WorkTrack 2 on the COI, the Continuing Operations Instrument, because that's both a legal instrument as well as a financial one. I know that that's listed in both WorkTrack, so there has to be some coordination between the two groups on who's going to tackle it, and if both are going to tackle it, you know, how they could break those down into the purely financial versus the legal terms. The Aubrey points out the list that there may be some interaction between this track and track two also on IDN reserve names. Track two deals with deals with reserve names. I think in the example that I mentioned about not being able to register a one character IDN, I'm not sure if that's a reserve name issue or an issue more for this work track, but I do agree with your point that we should coordinate. And Rubens and Cheryl, just for your information, Phil Buckingham, who's on this call, and Michael Fleming are the two co-leaders of that group. So, you know, we will have weekly leadership calls where we can make sure that the groups are not working on the same items. But I also do see Aubrey's point that there are reserve names issues that are related to IDNs that will require some coordination with WorkTrack 2. Another topic for this WorkTrack is the issue of name collisions. Now, we all know that came about after the process had already started, after the applications were already in fact, after a lot of the evaluations, although some may argue that it started beforehand because there was a technical, a security SAC advisory on the potential of name collisions back in 2010. Make a very long story short, ultimately there was a final report. So this group will review the findings of the final report to see whether any recommendations can be gleaned from that for the next application window. That could be, you know, are there any changes to the, should we just go with this controlled interruption mechanism that was developed for this round on a go-forward basis? Do we need to? Is there any other alternative, given that very little evidence of collisions was found? You know, this group will talk about that. And then I have a very big category of, because I believe there are a number of other issues that this group will come across, possibly even referrals from other groups to look at the technical aspect. So one of these examples was that we've talked about before is the whole notion of accreditation of back-end providers. So let's say WorkTrack 1 from a perspective, but that yes, we should have accreditation program. May decide to either forward that to WorkTrack 4. My audio is starting to cut out. Hopefully this is a little bit better. Is it still cutting out? Are we good? Shoot. Let me see what I can do.
And Jeff, it's Terry. It seems to have cleared up.
All right, does this work? Can you hear me better?
Currently it is. We'll alert you if it cuts out again.
Okay, cool. As I for the accreditation, if WorkTrack decides accreditation program is a good idea, they may decide, okay, WorkTrack 4, help us with the technical criteria, operational criteria, on a process to accredit these back-end providers. So there may be other examples where policy, finding a work, gets folded to this work track to help out on those issues. Any comments or questions at this point? I know it's late in the day for some, early in the day for others, or late actually for Europeans. Okay, well, that's all I had planned to cover for today. Unless anybody has, does anybody have any other business that they want to add? All right, well, with that, then, what I will say is that Ruben and Cheryl, thanks again for volunteering. Look out for emails from Emily or Julie on the next steps. And everyone, look out in your email for emails from Ruben's and or Cheryl on starting off the actual work for this work track. So thank you, everyone, and I think we're ready to close the call.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.